In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Thank you very much for the invitation to speak to you this evening. May the Lord give us words and habits. It's quite an interesting topic because many times we find that that we repeat our sins, especially when we're confessing. We're constantly confessing the same kind of sins all the time. And it's very common, like when people come and confess, they confess their sins, regularly, the same kind of sins. So it seems that, you know, it becomes very difficult sometimes in our lives to overcome certain habits and certain sins, and they become repetitive and repetitive. And there could be many reasons for it being a habit. And sometimes the habits can become addictions as well. You know, a sin, we can say that it's a habit. That's a nice word to say it's a habit. But in actual fact, some sins are addictions. You know, some sins can turn into addictions. So, you know, just can't give it up. And when something becomes of hold of you and you can't give it up, well, then that's an addiction. It's something that it's difficult to give up. It's an addiction. However, nothing's impossible for God. Nothing's impossible in the eyes of the Lord, and for us as well. We can, with the power of the Lord and our persistence, we can easily overcome these kind of habits. So we look at different aspects of how we should do it, or how can we do it. But first of all, we start, I was reading in Hebrews chapter 11, and we see that St. Paul in Hebrews chapter 11, he talks about, he gives us this lovely picture in the Old Testament about all the saints, prophets and saints who were witnesses to God. And they lived the godly lives. They were well-pleasing to the Lord. And St. Paul mentions people like Enoch, who was taken up to heaven. He mentions Noah, he mentions Abraham, Moses, Samson, David, and Daniel, and all these and many other Old Testament saints. All these, St. Paul says that they were by faith in God, they were able to witness to God, and they did many kinds of miracles, and God did many miracles to them and with them and helped them. But the most important thing that he focused on was by faith in God, they were able to do this. They were able to part the Red Sea. They were able to be lifted up to heaven. So we find that St. Paul gives us this indication of all these people who please God, and God yet was able to give them the strength. And if we look at chapter 12 of Hebrews, we find that he says, St. Paul says in the beginning, he says, since we are surrounded by all these saints' witnesses, these witnesses, run the race and set before you, he says, look at all these guys. This is what he's saying. St. Paul is saying, look at all these guys. All these people who witnessed to him, to God, and ask them, and they will tell you that there's nothing better than to live with God. There's nothing better, nothing joyful in living a life with the Lord. Even though these saints didn't actually see Jesus Christ, they weren't in the time of Jesus Christ, but yet they were able to testify and to be able to serve God in their lives. And they saw that how great it is and how wonderful it is to live a life with the Lord. There are many times we sometimes get excited about God. And for sure, a lot of us in some time in our lives, we made a change perhaps and we got excited about God. How often do we remember that? Is it the same? Do we still have the same excitement today? Am I still excited about being with God and having a relationship with God? The reasons why perhaps we might not be excited about God is for sure, as St. Paul said in his passage in Hebrews chapter 12, He said, therefore, since we also have such a large crowd of witnesses, which we talked about, surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. This is the point. Easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. I want to underline the phrase in the middle, which is very important. The sin that easily ensnares us. This is what our topic is about. There are sins that easily ensnares us. Everyone is surrounded by opportunities to sin. You know, around us every day, there are many opportunities to sin. But each of us have sins that we may be especially weak with. You know, there is always these opportunities every day. Maybe, you know, things that can come upon us or bombard upon us. And for sure there are sins that we are weak to and that we fall into. There are sins that we do. And some people may struggle with pride, some people may struggle with fear, and some people may struggle with laziness. Others may struggle with overwork. Some people may struggle with lusts and sexual sins, and others may struggle with food, like eating too much or, you know, putting on weight or something like that. Some may struggle with spending too much, you know, or gambling. Or some may struggle with alcohol. Some may struggle with drugs. Some may struggle with greed. Some struggle with the love of money. So there are certain struggles that we may be encountering. We might be, and these are the sort of things that can be habits. And they turn into addictions. There are sins we have committed, and we always constantly confess them. You know, so often when we go to Abuna, we repeat the sins over and again. We try to struggle. We say, look, we're going to really give it a good go now. But, you know, 1 week goes, second week we may fall into the same sin again. We go to Abuna and we say, Abuna, sorry, I've done the same thing again, you know. And it's a constant cycle, constantly. Until when is the question that we're going to overcome these habitual kind of sins, or the sins that are repetitive, that we may call them. If we just take an exercise now, we could imagine, if you would ask yourself, how many times would you sin in a day? You know, whether it's a bad thought, whether it's a swear word, whether it's a lustful thought, or any kind of. If you were to ask yourself, how many times would you think, you know, if you were to count them, how many times would you sin in a day? How many would you say? Probably 10 times, maybe a day. Okay, 5 times, 3 times. If we're 3 times, we could be like angels, because, you know, if we're 3 times a day, even if it's 3 or 4 times, yeah, even if it's 3 or 4 times, you know, if you were to count that in a year, that's 1,000, almost 1,000 sins, 1,000 times we have sinned. Now, if we were to count it in our lifetime, I mean, from now on, or say, from the age of when do we start actually be conscious of our sins? From, 12, say, till the end of our lives? What's that, you know, 60 years, 80 years, 60 years, maybe 70 years? So that's 70,000 sins, right? 70,000 sins that we may have committed in our lifetime. It's quite a lot, isn't it? When you look at it, if we were to count the number of sins, and for sure, there are times when sins, they creep up on us, and we don't realize until maybe at the end of the day, or maybe the end of the week, geez, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have done this, so, you know. And if we were really to sit down and count the number of sins we've seen, we find that there are quite a lot. They're quite a lot. And now if we were to look in the Bible, Taban, if this was in a criminal court, right, if we were to make one mistake, you know, would they give you 100 chances? They wouldn't. If you were to make a mistake, for example, you did one big mistake, you go to court, you know, if it's in the world. And there are no chances. There are no second chances when it comes to the law. So you'll find that, you know, God is very compassionate, and He gives us many chances. And he tells us that once you know, like the window is broken, it has a crack in it, it's a broken window. You know, there's not many cracks that makes a broken window, but it's only one crack that makes a broken window. The window is broken. And same with us. You know, we find that sometimes we can easily become very volatile and violate God's laws. But when it comes to the laws of the world, we find that we cannot do that, because there are laws that govern us and laws that will put us into jail when we do break certain rules. However, because God is compassionate and God is loving, He gives us many chances that we are able to come back to Him and return. In the book of Songs of Songs, it says that in chapter 2, verse 15, He says, "Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Okay? Catch us the little foxes. You know, if you notice that when you have a vineyard and you have sort of like a fence around the vineyard, and if there's a little crack in the fence, like a mesh, you know, the foxes will go in. And because they're little young foxes, when they go in, they like to run around and they waggle and they roll around, so they ruin the vineyards, you know. They probably do more damage than an older fox, you know, bigger fox. And that's like sin, really. Maybe that's what Songs of Songs was trying to tell us, that sometimes we allow little sins to creep into our lives, and they can become a destruction to our hearts, our destruction to our relationship with God, because we've allowed them to creep in. Little sins, little thoughts, little things that come through and can spoil our relationship with God, and spoil our heart, and spoil our connection with the Lord. It's like the little fox that runs around and spoils the vineyard. Tonight we will look at why we struggle against habitual sins, and perhaps we also look at how can I overcome the traps of these habitual sins. The first thing we will say is we struggle with habitual sins because the first thing is sin looks good. First point, you know. The first thing about sin is that it looks good. In the book of Proverbs chapter 23, verse 31 to 32, it says, "Do not look on the vine that is the wine that is red. When it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly," it looks beautiful, you know, swirls around the wine when it's fresh, you know. "At last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper." But once you start drinking it, what happens? You know, that's when the sting is. You know, you start to get drunk and you start to say silly things, and people laugh at you, and you start to laugh. You do all sorts of things. Have you seen a drunk person? You know, he thinks everything is funny. They have different moods and swings. You know, they can be angry, they can be funny, they can be happy, they can be whatever. They can be sad, they can be crying. You know, you know the disaster that comes with a person who drinks too much. But the wine looks good. But once we start drinking, well, then it becomes like a serpent, becomes like a sting of a viper. You know, it's deadly, can be destructive. So if we look at sin, we find that you know, it looks good. You know, it looks good in the beginning. We can taste it. Then after a while, it becomes bitterness, and becomes spoils our life. And that was the same if we give an example of the prodigal son. You know, what happened to the prodigal son? What did he do? He thought, oh, he was going to have a great time, leave his father's house, went out and lost all his money and did everything that was desirable to him. Look, sin, you know, women, men, maybe not men, but going out, dancing, drinking with his friends and all this. Until he ended up being eating the pods of the swines, you know, living with the swines. And that's the bitterness of sin. what's the result of it? You know, the result of his prodigal living was that he ended up living like a pig, basically. That's what it was. He lived like a pig. And the stink of the pig's den was smelly. That's it. That's the end result of the sin. Looks good in the beginning, but when you do start to take it, after a while it becomes bitterness. It turns into bitterness and sadness and becomes something that is not nice at all. But at the outside, the first thing is it looks good. Sin looks good. But once you get into it, you'll find that it is bitter and becomes unpleasant at all. And if you notice, if some of the Madiha in the Madiha, which is the praise, some praises in the fasting of the Lent, it says that actually. You see, when the week of the prodigal son, it says that the sin looks good in the beginning, but then it's bad, it tastes bad afterwards, you know. And then after, once you have it, it becomes bitter and it's despairing, it's sadness and emptiness. The second point is that sin is powerful. Sin is powerful. In John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus responds and says, I assure you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Everyone that commits sin is slave to sin. And is it very true? Because sin is a very powerful thing. And when you commit sin, you become slave to that sin. And who in their right mind would want to be a slave? Who would want to be a slave? Probably none of us. We don't want to be slaves to sin. And yet people are made slaves of sin. Even though we know that, you know, it is something that will cause us to be slaves of the sin, but we still will go for it. Why is that? Because sin is powerful. Because it's a trap and it grips us, right? It grips you, and it grips your mind, it grips our bodies, our imagination. It is powerful, and that's why people keep coming back to it. You know, like for example, you know, I always give this example of the World Wide Web, www. Did you get that? Is that what it is? World Wide Web. And the World Wide Web is a very interesting title, really, because that's what it is. Once you start getting into it, your thought comes in, alright? You become curious, right? Curiosity, like they say, curiosity kills the cat. Temptation after that, and then the fall. And once you get into a website or whatever, once you start, it's very hard to get out of. It's like a sticky web. That's what it is. You go into the other, and the devil plays that. You go into another and another and another and another and another, and you find that you all night, all day, whatever, you're on the web. That's how it is. It's a web. You can't get out of it. That's what it is. It's that. That's the stickiness of the sin, stickiness of the web, stickiness of the power of sin. Because once you get in it, it's very hard to get out of. And especially those kinds of sins that we call them now electronic type sins. The dating type sins, the pornography, the internet, all these sort of stuff are a sticky web. There's something they start off in curiosity or thought, curiosity, which is that little fox that creeps in, alright? And once that fox creeps in, it destroys what? The vineyard, alright? It destroys your life, destroys your relationship with God. And it's repetitive, it's constant. And this is the most important, this is the most common kind of sin today. You know, like, let me say, when we look at 15 years ago, when I was first ordained as a priest, you know, 12, 13 years ago, it wasn't a thing at that time. But now, a lot of young people even come, like children. They say, when we fell into the internet, Rafshi, okay. And when it starts young, it becomes an addiction. And that can lead to the continuous addiction that it is, and there'll never be a strong relationship with God if these habits creep in and they're constantly in us, because as I said, like these kind of things can lead to physical type of sins as well, physical type of sins. And that's where it creeps in. This is where it creeps in, you know. And that's a destruction. You know, I've seen many people, not only this kind of, but drugs as well. Even in when we talk about drugs, you know. I know I have a guy that I know. He's a long time user of marijuana since he was in his early 20s. He's about 36 now. But I see the destruction that this addiction has done to him, you know. It has, you know, sometimes he rings me and he says, Abuna, you know, I've got people watching me. People are talking next door. He lives in a hostel because long-time user, they don't have a house. The people next door to me are talking about me. They're going to get me. What do you mean they're going to get you? Yeah, they're out to get me. They're going to put me in jail. What do you mean? What have you done to put me? No, they're just going to get me. And he says, television, there's a camera in a television watching me. I can hear it clicking. I can hear it clicking. These are things that are things that, like, long-time use, you get all these addiction, these things that are what they call drug-induced psychosis. I've learned this because I read up and asked about it. And people hallucinate because long-term use, because of addictions, things like that. So you see how long-term addiction can actually, or habits, can destroy people. Same with alcohol. Same with gambling, you know. How does gambling start? It starts off, you always, when you go to gamble, for the first time, you've got to win a lot of money. This is how the devil. Once you put the first coin, the whole thing goes, you know, lots of money. And wow, this is great, you know. And I've never seen a person who started off gambling, who hasn't won when the first time he went. That's how he started. Because the first time he went, he won a lot of money. And that's how the devil works, you know. He makes you win money, I guess. And then that's how the addiction continues. And we've seen people lose their marriages, their houses, they sell their houses. They just destroy themselves and they end up in criminal activities as well. You know, I know somebody who got caught, you know, just, you know, the casino. Some guy came up to him and said to him, look, you know, we need just a dummy account where we can just transfer some money from people's account. He met him in the casino. And he said, look, I'm not really interested in this, but I'll get you somebody who might be. But he was there watching. He was doing all these things on the computer, on his laptop in the casino. This guy he knew of another guy, and he was just gambling, but he knew he came across a crook, you know. But because he got a phone call about a week later from the police, this guy, and he said to him, we've caught you on camera and we've bugged your phone that you have been an accessory to a fraud of a transfer of funds to one account to another. So he was at the wrong place at the wrong time, and he had a court case against him. You know, people were watching him. And this is what happens when we do the wrong thing, is that we end up in wrong activities. You know, and God protects us from these things. God protects us from these kind of activities and these kind. That's why we always say, look, you know, try your very hardest to stay pure in the eyes of the Lord. The third point about sin is that sin is sneaky, right? It's a sneaky thing. Sin is sneaky. Sin can sneak up on you so quickly, right? Let me ask you, when you give faithfully, sometimes when we give our tithes, don't you get this proudness sometimes that I'm doing something better than others? When you pray, sometimes you get this thoughts, bad thoughts maybe. When you're asleep, you might get bad thoughts. Maybe on the train, you might see something and your thoughts start to play with you. And this is what we talk about when sneakiness. Sneak sort of comes up together from behind and you don't know where it's coming from. You know, somehow often you say, Jesus, you know, I fell into this, you know, anger and swearing, but I don't know where it came from, you know. Where did it come from? And you realize, goodness, what did I just say? What did I just do? Yeah. Pride, for example, anger, covetousness. These are the things that can easily slip, you know. Sometimes we get angry, you know, and we say bad things and all sorts of things. And then we realize, Jesus, I shouldn't have done that. You know, and that's how it comes up. Sneaks up and hits you, knocks you out, and you fall into the trap. You fall into that trap that Satan wants us to get into. Habitual sins can get hold of you because sin is attractive, sin is powerful, sin is sneaky. So the question we must address is, how do we escape these kind of habitual sins? First of all, the Bible tells us that we must walk in the Spirit. So the work of the Holy Spirit, that we overcome. It says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So we realize that we can only escape by having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, relationship with God. That the Holy Spirit needs to work within us. Sin separates us from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside us. The Holy Spirit does not depart from us. And never will the Holy Spirit depart from us. But it would, as St. Paul says, it quenches, right? Dries up, but it's still there. You know, it reminds me of if you were to get a bucket, you know, like a bucket, and have a bucket in Gardal, and you put a sponge in it, alright? And then this, you can imagine that the Holy Spirit is the sponge in the bucket. And you can imagine if we had sin as a rock, okay? So when you put a sin, it's like one rock, another sin, another rock, another rock. What will happen to the sponge? It goes down, doesn't it? The sponge will go down, go down, go down. Yeah, it'll just squeeze, you know, but it's still there. What happens when we repent those sins? We take off the rocks. What happens? The sponge will come up again. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit can work in you. Sometimes you feel empty when we sin, right? We feel empty. We feel despair. We feel destruction. We feel anger. We feel the whole world around us is crumbling, right? But when we go and confess and repent, and we feel that this load of our shoulders taken off. Abuna, when he prays on us the absolution, what does he do? You feel that joy. You know, I see people's faces when they come out of confession, as if like it was just, you know, like this grace, this joy, that this load has been taken off their shoulders. This heaviness, this burden. That's the return of the Holy Spirit. That's the return of the Holy Spirit working within us so that it will build us up again, and we feel the joy of the Spirit, the happiness of the Spirit, the peace of the Spirit. All the fruits of the Spirit comes when we repent and we come back to the Lord. So the first thing that we need to understand is that if we were to overcome our habitual kind of sins, we need to work with the Spirit and let the Spirit fulfill, you know, not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So we realize that we can only escape by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to work in us, and God needs to work in us. However, even though we know that the Spirit needs to work, we need to do something ourselves. We cannot just depend on the Spirit, but we need to partake or play a role ourselves, because it's our will as well. The Spirit can work, but we need to do something. We need to do something as a person, so that I can kill the snares that we talked about earlier, these snares of the sin. So the second topic, the second title that we're looking at is, can I escape habitual sins by? Okay? By what? One, by realizing the seriousness of sin and its consequences, and fear of God as well. Like realizing the consequences and how serious is sin. Well, so often we take sin for granted, you know. Everyone is doing it. So what, you know. Everyone's looking at it. Everyone's doing this. This is sometimes, you know, why should we be different? You know, that's the world now, Abuna. We're taking it lightly. You know? So what if we do something like that? So what if we have a few drinks? So what if we have a few smokes of marijuana or whatever? So what if we take ecstasy? Or so what if we have a bit of recreational ice or something like that? You know, this is what happens. You know, like nowadays we find, you know, these recreational drugs. Ecstasy, what else is there? Marijuana, no, but the other ones, the little tablets, ice is very common. There's a few, I can't remember. Ecstasy and what else? There's something else. No, not LSD. No, LSD is old stuff. No, you're in the yeah, that's right. You're in a Yamcom. Speed, that's the one. Speed, yeah. LSD, not LSD, ecstasy, speed, all these kind of methamphetamines, okay? And so often people are using them, it's nothing, you know, it's like a tablet, it's a what, you know, it's, but it's, that's not right, because if we depend on other forces other than the Spirit of God, it's wrong. When we depend on something that is not, that is giving you an excitement other than the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit, well then this is not right, this is wrong. This is external, this is, and I believe, and I really believe this, that it is, you are taking a tablet like that is you're taking Satan in your mouth. Because I've seen what happens to people who become addicted to these kind of things. It is satanic, you know. The things that they come up with and they say, there is an element of satanic, Satan in what they say and what they do. And this is very dangerous. So we say avoid it completely. You know, so we must realize that the first thing is that there is the consequences and the seriousness of these sins. One of the first things we must do is to escape, to realize the seriousness of sin. The Bible says sin can destroy and mess up a lot of things in our lives. Your sins will rob you of joy. The sins will rob us of peace. It will hinder your prayers. It will damage your relationship with God and your family. And it does. And it brings emptiness and despair. It brings edginess. You know, like when people are in sin, they cannot stand any people around them. You know, they're always edgy. They don't have patience. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, it says, "But your iniquities have built barriers between you and your God." Okay, and your sins have made him hide his face from you so that he does not listen to you anymore. And this is what happens. When we sin, God hides his face. You know, God, how's God, how are we going to request prayers when there is sin? God, how's he going to listen? And that was the biggest problem with the people of Israel in the Old Testament, that, you know, they disobeyed God. So God did many things to them that was destructive to them. He didn't heed their voices. It's only when they changed and they repented and they cried out to the Lord is when God listened and had compassion upon them. And this is how, then this is the beauty of God, his compassion, that when we say, "Lord, I have sinned, forgive me," really from our heart, well then God will come back and he will restore us once again. And he will give us the inner peace and joy and happiness. So until we reach that level of saying, "Look, you know, this is serious, Lord, listen to, you know, help me," well, then he won't. So if you want to escape the stronghold of the devil in your life, you must realize the seriousness of sin. I remember a story of this saint, his name was Saint Patnotius. Patnotius. He was at one stage, you know, he was a head of a monastery and lived in the desert. And then they ordained him bishop one time, you know. The story says that, you know, that at some stage in his life, he felt that he was, when he became bishop and in a diocese, he didn't feel God in his life. God wasn't in his life. So he basically cried out to the Lord and he said, "Why aren't you here, Lord?" And an angel appeared to him in his dream and he said to him, "Look, you know, since you became a bishop, you have thousands of people serving you. Now that, you know, you don't need me, although, you know, I don't need to be with you." And he said, "Is that's the case? Well, then no way, you know. I'd like you to be with me. I'm going to leave the Bishoric." And he left his diocese and went back to the monastery. Saint Patnotius. Patnotius. And he went back to his monastery. But it was says that, you know, about him that he, when he went back to the monastery, some of his disciples, or some of the people in the, you know, the monks, used to come in at one time, Yanni, and see him crying. And they ask him, Abuna, or Sayyidna, why are you crying? No, he doesn't want to tell anything. And second day, they see him crying. Why are you crying, Sayyidna? No, I don't want to say it. Third day, they see him crying. They look in his cell, he's crying 24 hours a day, you know. And then they insisted on them saying, the monks, Yani, why are you crying? We want to know to learn, you know. He said to them, look, all right, I'll tell you why I've been crying for days and days, and you know, so that you may learn from me. He said to them, when I was young, a young boy, right, I was playing outside my house. This was in the 6th century or something like that, you know. And there was a camel that had sacks of cucumber on them. And as the camels were lifting, one of the cucumber fell, and I ran and picked it up and ate it. This was like, you know, 30 years ago, before. And I remember this now, and this is why I feel that this is a great sin. See, you know, if it was us, you know, like, I know, we sin every day. This particular saint is crying because he picked up a cucumber and he ate it from the camel that wasn't his. And he was crying and he remembered it as a sin. And this is how this is what I'm, you know, like I'm saying, like being serious about sins. You know, for him, Taban, this was a big thing, because as we grow in the spirit with the Lord, we find that the small sins are great sins, big sins. You know, you become articulate. Every time goes, you know, we're closer to the Lord, we find that, geez, I shouldn't have said that word. You know, even if it's a word, I shouldn't have thought that thought. And it becomes minute details. And those minute details of the sins or wronging that I've done becomes really big to me. You know, be really big. And because you don't want, he doesn't want to miss out on heaven. So, and it reminds me of Saint Augustine. If you read the book, The Confessions of Saint Augustine, has anyone read that book, The Confessions of Saint Augustine, you'll find that he confesses the sins he did when he was a child, when he was a baby. How could you do that? And they asked him, Augustinus, why did you, how come? What do you mean, Yanni? What do you mean you're confessing sins when you're a baby? He said, yeah, when I was a child, I see little kids playing with each other, and they fight over a game or a toy. Well, I must have done that too when I was young, you know. Can you remember what you did when you were a baby or a child? You can't. But because he saw two kids fighting with each other, you know, over a toy, he said, I must have done that, so I need to confess that as well. And that's what I mean by becoming articulate, becoming serious about the sin and how the grave that the sin can be. The next point, the second thing is to, in our realization or in how can I escape habitual sin, is to deciding that I will not be ruled by sin. Deciding that I will not be ruled by sin. We need to tell God, tell him right now, God. We'll go back to Psalm 119, 106. He says, verse 106, because it's a very long, this is the longest psalm in the whole Bible. I have solemnly sworn to keep your righteous judgment. I've solemnly sworn to keep your righteous judgment. What we need to do is tell him, God, you know, God, I don't want to be beaten by this sin anymore. I don't want to be beaten by this habit, Lord. I don't want to be beaten anymore. I want to live the way that is pleasing to you, God. And this is what we need to reach, that level that we're saying, look, I want to be with you, Lord. I want your help. I need you to help me. I want to obey you. Unless you help me, Lord, well, then I cannot do it on my own. Tell God right now, we can tell him right now, look, God, help me. I need to obey you. I need to be with you. I need to escape that habitual kind of sin. I need to realize the seriousness of this sin. I need to be committed to you, God. and to watch out for the sin that approaches. We reach the level of hating. The mushkila is that we don't hate the sin. We say, oh yeah, we confess it. But deep down, that little fox is still there. You know, on the surface, I don't like the sin, you know, but, you know, I don't want to do it. And I say to Abuna, I don't want to do it. But deep down, in the back of my mind, somewhere in the subconscious, I still like it. That's when it's never going to go. That it is, there's a deepness there, there's a sense of enjoyment of it. And sometimes we sometimes we confess sins, but we know that we're going to get back into it sometime down the track. Lessa, al-hatta of hating the sin is not there. It's not until we actually say, I hate it, really I hate it from my heart, that God is going to give us that grace. Yes, Habibi. Well, you see, this is the thing, but when we reach the level of loving God, we will be able to continue to hate the sin. Yani, we love God. Because you love God. Yes. Because I love God. Because I want to please God. I'm talking about, there's a difference between the habitual kind of sins, right? The sins that are constantly repetitive, right? Now, if I want to get rid of it being repetitive, well, then I got to reach a level where we all love God. Even if you're in sin, you still love God, you know. But the habitual kind of sin needs an element of reaching a level and خلاص بقى رفت منها. I cannot do it anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. It's very bad for me. That's that inner hate. You know, that's what I'm talking about. And that taban is driven by the love of God. You know, because you're doing it because you love God. Right? But we need to reach that level, and this is how you overcome it. If you want to overcome it, you have to reach that level of saying, I really need to hate it. Not really, don't want it in my life anymore. But deep down, you say it, like it's an inner feeling, not just words. Right? This is important. So for us to be able to remove this sin, that I need to reach the level of hating it, to remove that inner love for that sin, that inner fox that is disturbing, that small fox that is disturbing my relationship with God. If we look in some of the story about one of the 57th patriarch of the patriarch of See of Alexandria, our popes, 57. His name was Pope Gabriel. One time, Pope Gabriel was attacked by lustful thoughts. This is in the book of the patriarchs. Was attacked by lustful thoughts in his mind. And he said to himself, you know, I didn't come to become a pope because, you know, I'd be attacked by it. When I was in the monastery, I was fine, you know. These things are old stuff, you know. These sort of things are, when we were young monks, we were attacked by it. But now I'm a patriarch, you know, I shouldn't be attacked by these things. And if that's the case, I'm going back to the monastery. And he did. He went back to the monastery, the patriarch, 57th patriarch of Alexandria, because he was attacked by lustful thoughts, bad thoughts. He left his patriarchy, went back to the knocked on the door of the monastery, and everyone opened the door. He said, hey, Sayyidina, how are you? Coming to inspect the monastery? No, I'm not coming to inspect the monastery. I'm coming back to become a monk. But what happened, you know? What about the patriarch? You know, he left all the people. He said, yeah, I've been attacked by thoughts, and I need to get rid of them. He went back to the monastery. He said, Nabasiyani, what's going to happen, you know? He said, look, go to all the monks. He told them openly, look, I'm being attacked by thoughts. What should I do? Asking advice. What shall I do? And they said to him, but Sayyidina, you know, you shouldn't be like, you know, how can we tell you what to do? He said, no. regard me as one of your monks, you know. And then one of the monks said, okay, Sedna, then an older monk, yeah, and he said to him, look, we know we've been taught that when we get attacks of the lusts and desires and thoughts like that, is that because perhaps there is a feeling of pride came in, being proud of yourself. Maybe because you became patriarch, you became a bit proud, and that's why the devil is attacking you. And he said, really? That could be the reason, really, it could be. What shall I do, fathers? What shall I do? And they said to him, well, from our teaching, Yanni, we should, when somebody has these thoughts in the monastery, we tell him, you know, you have to sweep the floor and feed the guests when they come, and, you know, and help the chores around the monastery. He said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. The patriarch, the 57th patriarch of Alexandria, cleaning the monastery, yamsah al-ard wa arshi air, and when people come to visit, he's feeding them. Yes, it's really actually happened. Sayyidina, yani, you're feeding us, yani. Could you imagine going to the monastery and finding the patriarch feeding you? You know, what about the patriarch? He did actually spend perhaps a year or so in the monastery, and people coming in and seeing him and the patriarch doing all these chores. Yeah, but that's how he was to get over his sins. It was serious for him. It was something that it bothered him, and he had to do something about it. This is perhaps extreme. I mean, could you imagine, you know, if this was to happen today? It doesn't happen, you know. But in those days, of course, anything can happen. So when we look at how seriousness the sin is, and how we overcome it, and we must find the means and the way. The third point that we need to do if we were to overcome our habitual sins is guard against sin's approach. In Job chapter 31 verse 1, he says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then can I look at a young woman? And Job made a covenant with his eyes that he would not look at a young woman. I've got to watch out for what I see. Because the eye is the lamp of the body, isn't it? I have to be careful of what I look at. If I want to be free from temptation, well, then I have to control the eyes, control what I see. And that's again in Psalm, David says in Psalm 101 verse 3, he says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the works of those who fall away, and it shall not cling to me. So we need to run away from the source of the things that causes us to stumble and fall, like the computer, like the television, like friends, like places. A lot of people come and say, Bona, I swore. You know, I've got a habit of swearing. Why do you swear? Are you born to swear? You're not born to swear. You learn it, don't you? You don't come out of your mother's tummy swearing. But with time, who do you deal with? What are you watching that makes you swear? When you come, and the thing is that they know they can control it, because when they're in church they don't swear, but when they're outside they swear. So who are the friends that are with you that are making you swear? What are you watching that makes you swear? If you want to stop the swear, you have to find out what the reason why you're swearing. Is it because you're watching television, watching movies that are swearing? Is your friends around you swearing? So if you're in the environment of where they're swearing, you're going to swear, you're going to learn it. It's a language, you know. So we need to avoid the source of where the sin is coming, creeping in from, to be able to overcome it. And that's why we have to be selective what we watch. We have to be careful of where we go. And we have to watch the company that we keep with. What kind of people are we associating with? Guard ourselves against all these things that cause us to fall. Guard ourselves against certain things that, if it's food, even if it's food, make sure that there's no snacks at home, you know, so you don't eat it, because that's what can happen. Some people eat a lot, gluttony, for example, and that can be a bad habit. So we guard ourselves against the things that causes us to stumble. If there are certain channels, wipe them off on television, whatever, if you've got cable, whatever like that. If there are certain sites or things, get a software that may help you to block it in your computer. If there are work, you know what you can do. Sometimes we just don't want to. There are things that are causing us to have habitual kind of sins. Find the source and find something that will destroy the source or keep away from the source. And that's simple. That's the first step that we have to do, is to control the source. What is causing me to have that habitual sin? And to stay away from that habitual sin. You know, I remember the story of who's ever read the book, Yohanan Dargi, which is the Johnnikolamakos, the ladder of the divine ascent. Have you seen that? 30 ladders to heaven. The 30 virtues that we can reach to attain spiritual strength, or, you know, to attain heaven. And he talks about different things, you know, things like, you know, for example, repentance, obedience, you know, against purity and all these sort of things. About 30 different steps. But in his book, he reads in the part where he talks about obedience, he tells a story. One time he went to a monastery called the Monastery of Metana or Matanya, which is the Monastery of Repentance or Tears. The word metanoa or matanya is a Greek word. You know how you do a matanya? It comes from metanoa, which means to change. You know, the word to change. So this monastery was all these people who were sinners before, you know, and they were bad people. Some people were very difficult. And one of them was, there was a man there, I can't remember his name. But this man was actually a very nagarafyan. He was very, like, disobedient. He was, in his life, yani. And he was very proud of himself, and he had this, you know, like, very difficult person. And he came to the monastery to become a monk. Yes. And then the abbot said to, you know, felt that this person was really, you know, a bit, you know, proud of himself. He, you know, he didn't care for anything. So he gave him a practice, because the person was sincere about becoming a monk. And the practice was, that he said to him, look, if you want to become a monk, and he said, I'll do anything to become a monk. What you need to do is you stand at the door of the monastery, and everyone that comes to you, right, you do a matanya, who comes in through the door, you end the visit, do a matanya and say, please pray for me because Satan is attacking me. Please pray for me, Satan is attacking me. Anyone that comes in to visit the monastery, he did that. Do you know how many years he was doing that for? 7 years. He was at the door of the monastery doing that. 7 years. And then after the 7 years, this is actually in the book. After the 7 years, they said to him, look, you know, we see that you're very obedient now. You know, we want to ordain you a priest. And he said, no, I don't want to be a priest. I like what I'm doing. This is really good. I've experienced God in this. And he knew that, because 10 days later he passed away. So sometimes, you know, we need to, you know, be obedient to change. We need to do something, right? We need to find the source, and the source will lead us. Then we take away the source. When we take away the source will, we will find ourselves. We'll find our true selves. We'll find repentance. We find joy and happiness and strength. Fourth point, because we need to move on, is to meditate on God's word. You know, if we want to take away the habitual sins, we need to meditate on God's word. In the Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11, he says, how can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word, by listening to your words and reading your words. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your words I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Okay? If you want to beat sin, if you want to live a victorious life, fill your heart with the Word of God. The Word of God you meditate on, your readings of your Bible. Memorize the Scriptures, the Psalms, the Agbaya, the Psalms of Repentance. By the way, I've got this book for you. I put this together, and it's called the Seven Psalms of Repentance. Because there are... when David sinned, God hit him with seven types of punishment, alright? And every time he was punished, he wrote a psalm. So I put the psalms together, and you can copy it and send, you know, there's no copyright on it, so it doesn't matter. And, you know, and it's good to read these when we do fall into a sin or a habit. And it's like cleansing, because what the reading of your psalms and it's a clean, your part in your reading is because you have to transform the mind from being in that habitual sin to something holy works. We need to visualize the Lord and to cleanse. You know, and that reminds me of the story of the monk who used to go, who went to his confession father one time, and he said to him, "Abuna, you know, I can't understand the Bible. I read it, but I don't know anything in it." He said, "Okay, it doesn't matter." So he taught him a lesson. You know, he showed him. He said, "Go and get a weave basket." Right? You know how sometimes a weave basket that it was, you know, fiatrab or mafshe. So he said to him, "Go and get a weave basket." And he said, "Go down to the river and fill it with water and bring it back." So he went, filled it up, and all the water fell through. He went back to his confession father. He said, the water fell through. He said, "Go back again, fill it up again." He cleaned it up, all the water fell out, went back to his confession father. He says, "All the water fell out." He said, "Go again, fill it up again and bring it back." And after the third time, he said to him, "What can you see in the basket?" He said, "It's clean. There's no mud in it because the water fell through it." He said, "That's right. When you read your Bible, even if you don't understand it, it's cleaning. It's cleansing us. It's cleaning us from the filth, the dirt that of the world. And our mind gets transformed into holy things, right? And so when we want to give up certain sins, we need to transform our mind. Especially if they're visual kind of sins, we need to transform our mind to cleanse it, to clean it for our readings, for our Bible, for our Psalms, for our Agbaya, for all these wonderful things that need to be to listening even as well. Listening to tapes, to sermons, listening to Christian radio, watching videos. You know, we have so much Christian videos nowadays about saints, which are inspiring. You know, like the other day on Sunday, we went and saw the movie Omena Erini, you know, the new one, the new version about her life. And there are many. Abuna Yostas El Antoni, have you seen that? It's a beautiful, inspiring movies that are subtitles if you don't understand Arabic. But they're encouraging us to, you know, to live the holy and spiritual life. And as David said, how does a young man keep himself pure? By filling his head with God's words. That's how we do it. If we want to be pure, we will fill our heads with God's word. Point number five, ask God for help. Okay? In Luke 20:22, verse 46, he says, "Why are you sleeping?" He says to his disciples, "Why are you sleeping?" He asked them, "Get up and pray so that you won't enter into temptation." Okay? Ask God for help, which is prayer. What's your prayer like? Is your prayer just a shallow prayer or a deep prayer? Spend time in prayer and asking God in help on your knees. You know, what I said before is that the only thing that turned God's wrath from the people of Israel was when they cried out to him and said, "Lord, help us," in tears and crying. And that's when God's heart was turned. And God's heart was turned in prayer because of their prayer. So prayer is very important. Ask God. Ask the Lord. And the Bible says that, you know, the Lord told us many times, you have not yet asked. Ask and seek and you will find. You have not yet asked. But when we find that we ask in prayer for help, God is going to come. And God is going to help us. We need to teach ourselves to pray. Teach ourselves to be with the Lord. And that when we're in trouble, we fast and pray. When we do something wrong, we need God to help us. And it reminds me of a story of Pope Krolos. One time Pope Krolos, there was a priest who did something wrong in his church. And he was staying with His Holiness Pope Krolos at the time. And, he was staying in the Patriarch. One time, Pope Krolos was after Mass, he was sitting with another bishop and they were drinking some coffee. You know, he likes to drink some coffee, you know. And this man came and, this priest, sorry, it's the man, this Abuna came and, Sayedna, and he started to raise his voice. you know, like about some issues. And so Sayyidina said to him, I want to go upstairs, go to your room, don't stay here, alright? This is His Holiness Pope Carlos. And then the bishop that was with him, and he basically said, now you're a bit harsh on this priest. And Pope Carlos sort of said, do you know what he did? Darfu amale. And then Pope Carlos, the bishop kept quiet, but he said it in a very angry way. And it was said that Pope Carlos felt sorry that he said that word in anger. You know what he did? He went and locked himself for 3 days and not eat and fast. He fasted and prayed for 3 days because he said that. Could you imagine us? And that's what I'm saying by, you know, like prayer and fasting, when we do something wrong, sometimes we have to realize our wrongs so that we can get God's attention. God's got to help us. The saints were very powerful in how important it is to do the right thing in the sight of the Lord. And the final thing I'd like to say in number 6 is get advice from Abuna, your priest. Abuna, your confession father. Everyone should have a confession father. And he will give you practices and promises and vows that you should partake. In James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. We need to have guidance from our confession father, because it's a struggle. And the struggle, if you want to win a race, you're like an athlete. Who watched the Beijing Olympics? Right? Of course, everyone watched the Beijing Olympics. But they had trainers, all right? They had coaches, hundreds of them. To win the race, you have to have a coach. You have to have somebody to train you. If you want to struggle against your sins, you need somebody to help you to win the race by him being your coach, by giving you guidance, by giving you practices that we need to do, by making promises to the Lord through your confession, Father. Matanyas, maybe, whatever, fasting, certain fasts. You know, it reminds me of Moses the Black. One time he came to his confession, Father, 11 times in one night. All right? And then, one night, because he was fought by his sin, by Amba Isizorus. And then Amba Isizorus said to him, look, Tyler, the last time, he said to him, look, he took him outside his cell, and he said to him, look at the east, what can you see? Look at the west, what can you see? He says, I can see demons. He says, on top of his cell. He says, look at the east, what can you see? I can see angels fighting the demons. And he said to him, that's right. All above these, the angels are fighting the demons for you. And he said, those who are with us are more than those who are against us. Go back to your cell. And later on, Taban Amba, he himself used to tell his people who came to him, let the cell, when they said to him, what shall we do to overcome our sins? Or how should we learn to overcome? He said, go to your cell and let the cell teach you. Like your room. You know, this is for the monks. But what I'm saying is that the guidance that we get from our confession father is very important, of how to overcome our certain sins and our habits. Isaiah says, no weapon formed, in Isaiah 54 verse 17, no weapon formed against you will succeed, and you will refute any accusation raised against you in your courts. This is the heritage of the Lord's servant, and the righteousness is from me. This is the Lord's declaration. You know, nothing's going to come against you. Nothing's going to touch you if you acquire the Lord. The Lord will help us. Finally, I read this story, and this is the last thing I'll say. It says the story is about an Asian warlord who was defeated in battle. And he was locked up in solitary confinement and discouraged and ready to give up, until he saw an ant, right, in the corner of his cell. And this ant was trying to carry a kernel of corn, like a bit of corn, right, over a wall. This ant was trying to carry this bit of corn over a wall. And the kernel was larger than the ant itself. Right? 69 times the ant tried to carry this corn over the wall. and the 69 times he fell back. Okay, on the 70th try, he counted them. He pushed the grain of corn over the top of the wall. Right, and that was his encouragement to continue and never to give up. And that's sometimes what we need to do, is that we ourselves never give up, because God is always there to defeat our weaknesses, to help us in our weaknesses and our struggle. But we need to seek the Lord. We need to have faith that God is there for you. And rest assured that there is no sin that is not forgiven. No sin that cannot be forgiven by God. All sins are forgiven, and God is compassionate, and God is open arms, like the prodigal son and the father. The father waited for his son, and when he saw him, he ran to him. And you know, they say, like, you know, some of the pictures they draw is that he had one shoe, the left in the right, and the right in the left, because of his haste to go out to the son. And this is the beautiful picture of Christ, picture of the Lord, that he's waiting there with his open arms for us to come back to him. May the Lord give us strength in our struggles. Glory be to God forever. Amen. May the Lord.